Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway on this Friday, April 5th, brought to you each and every weekday morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi Harvest Ridge. Well, my guest canceled for this morning, but we still have a second half guest. Talk about the history of Monopoly, in this area. Did you know that Monopoly was invented in Macomb? A lot of people don't know about that. So we're going to learn all about that in the second half of the Mary Griffith Show. I have to do an insert. I don't even know if I can do this. Let's see. Can I get this done here while I'm actually talking on the air? I don't know. But anyway, folks, thank you for your patience. We are going to go back in time today and play you a previously recorded Mary Griffith Show. This one was just recorded recently, oh my gosh, where did it go? There it is. Hey, there you are, you little devil, go up there. This snippet from a previously recorded show, local attorney Chuck Schultz, struggling to build his practice when he was a wee young Chuck. A case dropped into his lap that changed his fortunes and the course of history for the Oreo Potato Company. You're saying, what in the world is going on? Well, we're going to tell you all about it. Listen as Chuck Schultz and fellow historian Jack Freiberg talk about the invention of the lattice fries, a horse jockey nicknamed Sprout, and Sprout's handmade potato cutting device. Hear now from the archives the wonderful story of the lattice fries.
And we know that. I know that because it's been established in the United States District Federal Court. And the story is that young Chuck Schultz, struggling young attorney, you know, low man in the firm, taking all the cases that nobody else wanted. It's like 6 o'clock at night, and the phone rings, and it's a guy named Bill Mathis, high-powered patent lawyer from Washington, D.C. I went to college in Washington. This guy is a longtime friend of my father's. So he'd take me to the hockey games. He was a great guy. We got to know each other. So he goes, oh, how are you doing, Mr. Mathis? I said, hey, I need some help. You ever hear of a place called Sprout's Restaurant? I said, oh, absolutely. Great place. He said, do they serve some kind of waffle cut potato? And I said, you know, you're probably talking about lattice fries. And he said, lattice fries, okay, that might be it. Could you go out and get an order of those and then come back and call me? So it's about 6 o'clock at night. So I said, okay. And I did. Got myself a, you know, coconut cream pie while I was there, you know, big slice. But I go back to the office and I call him up and he's having me measure these lattice fries. So he says, now I'll tell you what, now this is early, like 1980. He said, put one on the copy machine, make a copy and then fax it to me. So this greasy fry on that glass, you know. But I did that, and I said, you got to tell me what's going on here. And he said, well, I represent Oreo Potatoes, and we sell these types of potatoes. They're in a bag in the frozen food section in every grocery store in America. But we're getting sued by a guy that says he has the patent. He got a patent for this in 1981. And the thing is about patents, they're only good if they were unique at the time they were issued. I'm trying to find out if there were these so-called waffle-cut potatoes were around before 1981. I said, Mr. Mathis, I've been eating my whole life. I was born in 1953. So he hired me. And again, young struggling lawyer, I got those Washington, D.C. rates and got to bill that by the hour. We brought in high-priced folks from all over America. And there were other places that had some so-called lattice-type fries, but none went back as far as Quincy. I had menus from the Ritz restaurant on North 12th Street in the 1920s. Lattice fries, a nickel. So Sprouts, you know, the McLean brothers' dad, Cecil, I believe was his name. Everybody called him Sprout because he was small in stature. He was a jockey.
A jockey, right.
Well, he actually may have invented the way you cut the lattice fries to create that, but we were able to locate an actual cutter, which is kind of like a wavy piece of corrugated metal that you'd, like you core an apple, you just put it down on that potato. And the long and short of it is that we absolutely won that case and established that the first place in America that ever served what they called this patent application said, we've invented the hybrid between the potato chip and the French fry. And we called it the waffle cut potato. Well, that was a lattice fry, but Cecil Sprout had been making them for 80 some years before this guy out in Idaho got his patent in 1981. So we can say definitively Quincy, Illinois is the home of the lattice fry.
Now, because of that, let me ask you this. So you won the case. So what does Or Ida call them now? Can they call them waffle?
They call them anything they want now.
They call them anything you want.
No, this other patent was ruled invalid and has
because
no effect.
This Or Ida company was fighting this other company.
They were suing Or Ida saying, you're violating my patent. But you're making something I invented.
You proved you couldn't have the patent for that because this was being done in Quincy, Illinois
in
decades
the 1920s.
Before. You know, I tell you what, I've lived here all my life. I've eaten many a lattice fry at Sprouts, and I never knew that it was something that special. So...
Well, I am glad to have
I'm learning so much from you guys.
You in that regard, Mary.
And see, I remember at the time that this was going on, there was a little blurb in the Herald Whig where they talked about this case. And it was, Herald Whig used to have that column that was kind of heard on the street thing that they ran. It was just a single column that they ran up and down. And... They quoted Pat McClain, and he said, I don't understand what the fuss is all about. They're just potatoes. Which I thought, right on, man.
Well, but
Many people do prefer lattice fries over a French fry.
Listen, you can call it just a potato if you want, but lattice fries are better than anything else.
And you still can't beat that Sprouts coconut cream.
No. Well, I don't like coconut cream, but I'll take raisin cream. How's that?
Okay.
Now, Chuck, that's so interesting that you got paid Washington, D.C. rates. You don't have to reveal, but was it twice as much?
Oh,
three
my
times
God.
As much?
I can't even remember what my hourly rate when I first started practicing law was, but... It was barely double digits.
Well, what's
although
funny about
I've
that?
Seen some stuff from my grandfather, where he took in
two pigs
of corn, couple of chickens.
That is funny. I'm sure the show's like, well, here comes another one. We got to support until he can earn his own keep. So good thing you went to hockey games with
right.
another lawyer. Yeah, you know everything.
Networking.
Yeah, networking. It's all about who you know. It's all about who you know.
Welcome to La Vina Bistro. At La Vina, you'll discover dishes from around the world with endless variety, history, and flavor that will tantalize your taste buds. Join us for dinner Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. with live music. And don't miss out on our brunch every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Relax on our patio under the sky. Reservations are suggested for large groups, but walk-ins are always welcome. La Vina Bistro. Casual fine dining with a European flair. 207 North 5th Street, Hannibal, Missouri.
Thursday morning, April 11th, starting at 7:30. Log on to WTAD.com and click the Half Price Deals link to purchase a La Vina $50 gift certificate for only $25. That's right, a $50 gift certificate from La Vina Bistro in Hannibal for half price. It's the WTAD Half Price Deal of the Week. A $50 gift certificate from La Vina Bistro for $25. Just log on to WTAD.com Thursday morning, April 11th, starting at 7:30 for the Half Price Deal of the Week.
Making you aware of the good things happening in your community. We are the Star Radio family of stations.
No one should have to face Parkinson's disease alone. Support groups help people with Parkinson's disease and their care partners build a vital network of support in their communities. Quincy Area Parkinson Support Group is about what you can do. Visit us online at pdsupportquincy.org. That's pdsupportquincy.org. And join us every month, the second Saturday of every month at the Quincy Public Library from 10 to noon for our monthly support meeting. Quincy Area Parkinson Support Group is about what you can do. Visit us online at pdsupportquincy.org.
If you have a not-for-profit event you would like to promote, send your information to Star Radio at 329 Main Street in Quincy or by email to this station's website.
Blinded by the light.
What blinding flash of brilliance is on Coast to Coast AM tonight?
Do you span several lifetimes? I'm George Norrie, and Richard Sheridan filling in for me with a special guest, Alan Pierce, followed by those special Friday night into Saturday morning open line calls right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Coast to Coast AM, sunscreen not required.
Are we retreads or recycled? Find out overnight tonight on WTAD.
We say good morning to Jock Headblade. I hope you're calling. You sound like you're on a cell phone.
No, I'm on a landline, but my offices are right here by the train station, and there is a train going by right now, so maybe that's it.
Well, that's okay. That won't last long. Thank you so very much for being my guest today and for coming on a little bit early. You know, these things happen. I had a guest that had to cancel because of illness, so this is fantastic. We are going to talk...
Oh, my gosh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for your interest.
Oh, we are going to talk about McCombs' Unforgettable Tribute, May 9th, which is coming up to the woman who invented the game of Monopoly. So, Jock, I want first everybody to learn about you, and then we're going to talk about Lizzie. So first, let's learn all about you, shall we? Tell us a little bit about the Jock Headblade story. What do you do, and what is your passion?
Well, you know, I actually grew up here in Macomb, Illinois, and then I went to Western Illinois University, and ended up going up to Chicago. I had a degree in broadcasting, and I went up there and I pursued a career in television and radio, which I was fairly successful in, and worked on national television with the Harpo Studios, Rosie O'Donnell and Steve Harvey, and had about a 35-year career there, worked at WGN Radio and WLS Radio as a producer. And I was coming to the end of my career at Steve Harvey, and they were about ready to move the show out to Los Angeles, and I was at a point where I was like, is this what I want to do? I was spending a lot of time in Macomb, back in my hometown here, during hiatuses, and I really thought, boy, when I retire, I'm coming back here, because I just love it, and my mother was still here. And when they decided to make that move, I had a think about what I was going to do with my career, and I thought, maybe I can just come back to Macomb now. And I thought, how am I going to get any radio and TV jobs? And then this job came up with the Convention and Visitors Bureau here, and I thought, I don't have any qualifications at all, but I'll throw my hat in the ring. And lo and behold, they hired me, and it turns out that, you know, being a producer is kind of what we have to do here, and that's what we've done since I've moved in here, and we're creating these attractions that now we can promote, and the Lizzie McGee World's Largest Monopoly game is the attraction that we came up as our crown jewel of the other stuff that we've created here over my tenure over the last 6 years here back in Macomb.
Well, we love it. And you could possibly get a job in radio or television, but you can't live on food stamps. And thank God for minimum wage. We all at least have minimum wage now. I don't make quite as much money as I'm sure you did when Oprah was your master, but that's okay. You have found your place in Macomb. Let's talk about the fabulous Lizzie McGee, because I've told people that Monopoly was invented or inspired by Macomb's Town Square, and people are like, no way. But I say, way.
Well, you know, it's, we don't have anything that actually tells us that that's what happened. But I'll tell you what, the coincidence is really quite amazing. When you take a look at the downtown square, take a look at a Monopoly board, know that in the corner of the downtown square at one point we had the jail, and the fact that, and this is something that people kind of take for granted now, but at the time that the game was invented, that Lizzie invented this game, that type of a board where you went all the way around in kind of an infinite path around the board game never existed. It was a point A to point Z type of board game that people made, so that was revolutionary. So, like we said, we don't have anything written down from Lizzie that says that that's what she based it on, but we find it pretty, pretty amazing coincidence.
So, no hard evidence, but common sense dictates that she grew up there and that this would happen. So tell us a little bit about her. Did she grow up in Macomb, and where was she living when Monopoly came about?
Well, she grew up in the area. She was born here in Macomb. Her father owned the Macomb Daily Journal. And actually, during his time here, he forged a pretty good friendship with Abraham Lincoln, who was back quite a bit in the mid-1800s when he was debating Stephen Douglas for the Senate. And when Lizzie was born in 1866, they were here for a while, and then they moved to Canton, they moved to Springfield, and they stayed in the area for a while. But it wasn't until Lizzie got older and moved out to the East Coast when she actually invented the game. But they were in the area for quite some time, and, you know, we can only assume that they were back and forth to Macomb, you know, had friends and people here and that stuff. So that's what happened. But then Lizzie went out on her own, a very independent woman, that which wasn't common at the time, back in the late 1800s. And she became a poet and an author and an inventor. And she created games and had patents. In fact, we wouldn't be having this conversation today about Lizzie McGee had she not gotten a patent on this game that she at the time called the Landlord's Game. And at that time, when only about 1% of the people that held patents were women. But had she not gotten that patent, we wouldn't be talking about her today.
Now, we definitely see the East Coast influence on the game of Monopoly with Boardwalk and Park Place and the Long Island Railroad and stuff like that. But these were also, like you said, there were adaptations, and we can definitely see the imprint of what is happening. I've got to take a break for the farm markets, and so I'm going to put you on hold. If I lose you, will you promise to call me back? Because unlike
Absolutely.
Oprah, who had the best producer in the world, I'm my own producer, and God knows.
Yeah, it sounds like you're a pretty good producer.
God knows what happens when I try to put people on hold, but I've got to make another phone call. We're going to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening back there, but then we'll come back, and Jock Headblade's going to talk about a big event coming up in May in Macomb to honor Lizzie McGee and her great invention of Monopoly, we think based on the actual town of Macomb. Stay tuned.
This is Bill Jones, General Manager of Star Radio Quincy. We encourage you to shop local and buy local. Here's another local business spotlight.
Relax in your own backyard with the help of Relax Quincy Spas. Entertain friends and give yourself a moment to relax in your own home. The best brands in the business are available at Relax Quincy Spas. And right now, take $1,000 off all 2024 Free Flow Spas. Relax. With Relax Quincy Spas, 32nd and Broadway, next to Qdoba, Quincy.
Parents, has your child experienced problems with sadness or anger? Have you received calls from the school or other parents who have witnessed bullying or difficulty paying attention? SIU offers behavioral health groups where your child can get support from their peers, and it's led by a trained professional. Groups offer an experience for children to practice skills that will help them deal with difficult problems. It's a fun, friendly environment. Contact SIU Center for Family Medicine in Quincy today.
With 64 games in the books, UConn, Purdue, NC State, and Alabama now converge on Phoenix, with just two more wins needed to claim the 2024 NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. Tune in this Saturday to hear Westwood One's exclusive coverage of the NCAA Final Four.
And then there were four. The Final Four. The show starts 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon on WTAD.
939, 44 degrees. Lisa standing by at the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. How do those farm markets look today, Lisa?
Good morning. Corn for May is up at 435. July, it's up at 448. Soybeans for May is up 5 at 1185. July, it's up 4 at 1196. Wheat for May is up 16 at 573. July, it's up 14 at 586. Soybean meal for May is down at 333. Lean hogs for April is up at 8907. Live cattle for April is down at 180.65. Feeder cattle for April is down two at 240.25. And crude oil is up at 86.05. Thank you.
The Ramsey Show.
If I thought with my 40 years plus in the financial world that your best shot at having a high quality life was a universal income, I would be for it. But I don't think it is. Your best quality of life is when your character is increased with discipline, grit, the ability to overcome obstacles, a belief that if I leave the cave, kill something, and drag it home, I get to keep it. The Ramsey Show has been helping people win with money for more than 30 years, and now we're on WTAD, weekday mornings at 10 and nights at 8.
Well, Dave Ramsey's got some great advice. My dad had the same great advice, but he didn't become a billionaire. He just told me. Should have had his own radio show and told the world like Dave Ramsey. But we'll stay tuned for that in just a moment. Right now, we turn our attention to Jock Headblade. Macomb, man by choice, came back from the big city to live in God's neighborhood there in Macomb. And, has done a lot with Four Gottonia and all the other great things. I've been reading all about all the wonderful things that have gone on. And at my age, I remember Four Gottonia and the fight to get roads over here and everything. And so today we're talking about Lizzie McGee, who was born in Macomb, as an adult lived on the East Coast and got the patent for the board game that would eventually become Monopoly. And many of the things that we recognize from Monopoly, we can say, we can use our imagination and say the Macomb Town Square is definitely the inspiration for that. So with that in mind, May 9th is something special for Macomb. And would you tell us all about what's going to happen May 9th and how people in the Quincy and Hannibal and Keokuk areas can get involved?
Absolutely. So May 9th is a special day for us, not only because it's actually Lizzie McGee's birth date, but that is the day that we're going to be unveiling what we're calling Macomopoly, which will be one of the largest Monopoly boards in the world. So you'll use the downtown square itself to play the game through a state-of-the-art app on your handheld devices. And then within the inside of the square, we're going to have giant Monopoly-type game pieces that will be sprinkled throughout the square. And this will be a permanent attraction that will be available 365, 24/7. But we'll be doing the unveiling of it and the actual launch of that on May 9th at 11 o'clock in the morning. That's a Thursday, and we invite anybody who would like to come. It's going to be right downtown on the downtown square. And we'll have some dignitaries there, and we've even been able to track down one of Lizzie's distant relatives. We've flying her in from Salt Lake City, and she's going to be one of our special guests of honor here. So,
wow, that is exciting. Her great great niece from Salt Lake
will be here.
Did the great great niece even know that Lizzie McGee had invented Monopoly, or was this something she found out when you called her and said, "Hey, guess what? We want to make you a citizen of the day."
They had heard like little rumors and stuff going on in the background, but there wasn't this real knowledge. Now, how we tracked her down is one of our committee members worked in the genealogy, McDonough County genealogy, and got on Ancestor.com or something, and found her there and connected her. So she had seen kind of the tree, but didn't really understand kind of the depth of who her aunt really was. There was always just kind of these rumors within the family. So she's been kind of enlightened by this whole thing and is extremely excited to come back, and we're really excited to have her here.
Well, let's talk about May 9th. It's going to kick off at 11 o'clock. It's kind of a virtual thing. We were joking on the radio this morning, my partner and I. Wouldn't it be great if we could get, like, the wheelbarrow and move around the square? But it's not going to be quite a realistic, right? This is a game that's going to be all done on an app and on your phone. But are you going to try?
Right.
We really need the Scotty dog. We need the wheelbarrow. We need a little tiny race car. We need these pieces.
Well, and that type of stuff is a second phase of this that we want to launch. But we needed to get in first and lay this out and get the baseline for it down. And, the reason why we're going with an app on this is, like, it's just the way that it is right now. This is how everybody's playing games, how people want to do it. It's convenient. We certainly hope down the road here that we might be able to hold some kind of tournaments and that stuff and have an opportunity where we can play the game in a giant fashion around there. around the square. But right now, this is how we'll play it. And I think people are going to be pretty fascinated with what we've done with this app, because it's not just going to be playing the game. There's also trivia involved with it, history. There's video within the game. Lizzie's going to be talking to you. It's a pretty fascinating, pretty unique take on the game of the landlord's game and Monopoly.
This is exciting, and it's going to happen and be kicked off on Lizzie McGee's birthday, Thursday, May 9th at 11 o'clock in the historic Courthouse Square, right there in the center of downtown Macomb. Now, Jock Headblade, as a person who's in charge of bringing more tourism to Macomb, one of the most interesting aspects of our area is we were completely forgotten in time for so long. It's kind of a strange thing to say, come and see the land that time forgot. But it's not dinosaur land. Talk a little bit about Forgottonia. We have done shows here on the Mary Griffith Show in the past about Forgottonia. Many of my listeners, of course, do remember that. But a lot of younger people don't get what it's all about, especially since we've got a lot of roadway construction going on in Macomb right now. And we certainly have four-lane highways that connect Macomb and Quincy to other places now. That wasn't the case when I was a kid. So talk a little bit about Forgottonia and how you market that as a destination and a place to be seen that, you know, in some ways, still in many ways, is untouched and is still the quieter, gentler way of doing things.
Yes, and very much the charm of it. Well, the story itself is interesting, and I remember this story, too, growing up here. It's back in the late 60s, early 70s, this area of Illinois, this west central area, kind of running 16 counties up and down the west coast of Illinois here along the river, was really kind of forgotten in the ways of the help from the state for infrastructure and all of that. And it was at a point where, you know, roads were falling apart and so were bridges. And a few people here in Macomb got together and started to talk about how we are completely forgotten down here. And through, you know, over glasses of beer, they came up with this kind of fictitious thought of this area being called Forgottonia. And then they very tongue-in-cheek thought, well, what we need to do is we need to create our own state, and then we need to secede from the state and the union, and then we will surrender immediately, and then we can get foreign aid, and we can, you know, take care of the rest of this state. So this is one of these kind of running jokes that started to happen, but there was a serious tone to it, and they brought in this gentleman that had come back from Vietnam that was in coming back on the GI Bill at WIU here in theater. He was from the area. His name is Neil Gamm, and he kind of became the face of it. And they decided that Fandon, Illinois, which is just a blink of an eye town here in McDonough County, would be the capital. And they were all here at Macomb, and Neil got a frock coat, and they went down and took a bunch of pictures on all these abandoned buildings saying this is the governor's home, and he was the governor of Illinois. Well, it took off, and the media got a hold of it, and before you know it, it's becoming a national type of a story. And the humor was the part of this that really propelled this into the national arena. And from that, it embarrassed the state enough that they needed to start paying attention to this area. And from that point, the reason why we have these four-lane highways and good bridges and all of that stuff now is because of that effort that happened back then. When I came back into this office here, we hadn't had a rebranding take place in over 30 years, and really thought that if we wanted to, you talked about this area being kind of forgotten, a little kind of a gem. Well, when I lived in Chicago, I came down to Macomb as an escape, and I used to bring many of my friends that grew up in Chicago down here, and they were what I took for granted. I was able to see through their eyes how they would see this downtown area, you know, like the Gilmore Girls, and how beautiful and quaint it was. But yet you had the university, so you had all this other kind of, you know, we're still in touch with these times, but there's, it harkens back to another time. And I thought, what if we called this, you know, we took the name Forgottonia, which at the time a brewing company was just getting ready to launch here under the same name, and said it's Unforgettable Forgottonia. And that's how we branded ourselves, as Visit Unforgettable Forgottonia. And I tell you what, it's gotten a lot of attention. People now are really looking into it. And, you know, we're an area that you have to want to come to. There's, you know, you're not just by a major highway that you can pull off the road. So we're looking for ways to draw people into this area, to show them what we have, that this is an escape from the city. You can come down on the weekend and be here for a few days, and you can recharge your battery. It'll feel like a week because time slows down. But yet we've got a lot of stuff that is very modern, and some, you know, that we can show you with the Monopoly and the university and the food and the dining and the microbreweries. So that's kind of where we've gone with our branding, and so far it seems to be working, and we hope this last moment with the McComopoly will be something that really baits the hook for everybody.
Well, I think McComopoly is a fantastic idea. And, you know, the great thing about it is with that Amtrak train, because Quincy, we're getting geared up. It will take a while, but we're getting geared up for Father Gus Tolton. And, you know, probably a pretty hefty African-American experience from the Chicagoland area coming down to visit Quincy and the first Negro saint, probably, you know, the first African-American
right, yes.
priest here, definitely the first African-American priest, of one of the rare African-American saints from the United States. There's always something. Somebody always has something that there is to tout. The difficulty is, of course, getting everyone to know about it. And so, you know, there'll be Monopoly game enthusiasts who will come to Macomb, Illinois, not knowing how to pronounce Macomb, Illinois, you know, because I've heard people say Macomb, you know, I'm sure you've
right.
heard every combination there is of how to say Macomb, Illinois. So this could be, you know, this Monopoly thing, a lot of things can be great tourism boosters. And Macomb has the blessing of Western Illinois University, so you get a solid infusion of state money. You get a stable tax base from the professors and the workers at WIU, and you have
right.
a constant pass-through of people who are young adults who may remember Macomb fondly, not just a place where they flunk calculus, and may want to, you know, come back. So on this May 9th...
Well, I will tell you, the Amtrak thing, too, that you said, too, really makes it easy, right? I mean, it's such a gift that we have, and you can get right on in Union Station and be right down here in Quincy in a 3 or 4 hours, and it makes it extremely easy to take a trip down here, even a day trip. You know, you could come down literally and turn around and be back that evening if you wanted to. So it's we really are trying to push the whole aspect of Amtrak and how easy it is to travel and get down here and really escape the kind of the pressure of the city for a little bit.
Okay, well, let's go over and recap what's going to happen on May 9th. It's Lizzie McGee's birthday, and she is a Will Creditor. Maybe nobody else will, but Will Creditor with inventing Monopoly, the landlord's game. Macombopoly will be unveiled Thursday, May 9th at 11 a.m. But I know as a good tourism person, you want everybody to play the game on their phone, but you also want them to stop and see some local attractions. So what else is there to do in Macomb on May 9th that people might want to go and make a day of it in the Chandler Park area?
Well, we've got some fantastic places to eat downtown. There's the Old Dairy. There's Chicks on the Square. There is Chubby's, where you can get a fantastic breaded pork tenderloin sandwich. The Old Dairy has the grilled cinnamon rolls that they make homemade there. Chicks has got the chicken lips. Sullivan Taylor's down there. The wine cellar's a ton of stuff down on our square that's just absolutely beautiful and from the mid-1800s. But we have the Abraham Lincoln, Living Lincoln Topiary Monument, which is a 16-foot-tall bust of Abraham Lincoln. And what makes it the most unique bust in the world is that it's has live flowers as a beard that grow every year along with ivy around it. We have a tour of Looking for Lincoln tour. We're in Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area. So we have a whole tour that you can also do on your phone where Lincoln himself actually takes you around to all the places that Lincoln spent and where he gave speeches and spent the night. We've got Argyle Lake State Park. We've got Spring Lake State Park. We've got a murals tour, beautiful murals, one dedicated to one of the pioneers of the civil rights movement, C.T. Vivian, who grew up right here and went to high school and to WIU. He was the right-hand man of MLK. He actually brought him into the movement. There's just many nightclubs and that stuff to go to. So we have quite a bit. Fort Gatonia Brewery, the wine cellars. There's going to be plenty of things for people to enjoy themselves with.
Well, we're looking forward to it. It is, again, Thursday, May 9th. It kicks off at 11 o'clock at the historic Courthouse Square. You don't have to bring your own wheelbarrow or your own Scotty dog or your own race car. If you want to put a thimble on top of your head and be the moving piece, you can do all of that. But it's a virtual...
We encourage it.
We encourage it, yes. Everybody dress up like a thimble and come down to Macomb on Thursday, May 9th and see what Macombopoly is all about as the town square becomes the Monopoly board virtually. And we're looking so much forward to that. Thank you, Jock, for your time today. It's been delightful getting to know you. And I think it just goes to show that, you know, people go away and make fame and fortune elsewhere, but there's no place like home. There's no place like home, and you are living proof of that. So thank you for all of the work that you do for Macomb Tourism. And don't be a stranger to the Mary Griffith Show. I think you have some real stories to tell, and I'd love to hear some more of them, okay?
Mary, it would be my pleasure, and we hope to see you here on the 9th, too. Well, you're more than welcome.
I just might make it a day trip. You never know.
Great.
Thank you so very much. Jock Headblade, and he is with the Macomb Convention and Visitors Bureau. Unforgettable for Gatonia is one of the things that he is responsible for. And so if you want to learn more about Macomb, please make your way up there Thursday, May 9th, 11 a.m., C.T. Vivian, a lot of famous people hail from Macomb, but of course we love the Monopoly board probably the best. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll close it out for this week on The Mary Griffith Show. Shining